Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Keyshawn.
I used to have to pick up Popeye's chicken for Keyshawn.
One of the NFL's most respected analysts.
Morning, Keyshawn. How you doing? It's been a little while, but it's great to hear your voice. Nobody knows what's going on more than you do.
And one of the game's most charismatic stars ever.
Shut your ass up! Play football! Man, you a fake-ass John Randall. Shut your ass up!
ESPN's Keyshawn Johnson joins Dale and Keefe.
Cam Newton sucked.
Now on WEEI.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is ESPN NFL analyst and former NFL wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn is sponsored by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs fast. And McFarland Energy. Check out McFarland's new customer oil delivery special at McFarland.com. You can hear Keyshawn every morning on ESPN Radio's new morning show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, as well as on ESPN's new relaunched NFL Live program, which airs weeknights from 4 to 5 p.m. The good news, Keyshawn, is we didn't hang up on you this week, so it's a step forward for us.
Well, that is true. I just actually was just telling the producer to answer the phone. I told him Cam Newton sucks. He runs the ball too much. We want him to throw. We want him to throw the ball despite getting a W. He runs too much. That offense looks terrible.
Do you think that the way they played offense against the Dolphins Sunday is sustainable over the course of a regular season in the NFL?
Well, I think it is to a degree. I think when you think about it, you look at what New England traditionally has done for many years, is they never go into the same game with the same game plan, right? I mean, it's always different. And Miami presented itself, presented New England with a game plan that worked, that was efficient to get the W. And that's the way Bill Belichick has always approached it. And this week against Seattle, going to Seattle, I'm sure he'll come up with a different game plan. Maybe it's more throwing and less running, or maybe it's more running and less throwing, or maybe it's a mix of both.
Now, if it is more throwing, I think he 100% could be right, do they have the guys to get that done? Because outside of Julian Edelman, not a lot of proven targets on this team.
Well, I think you look at the same thing, right? You go to Aaron Rodgers and you think about what they were saying about the receivers in Green Bay prior to Sunday. Oh, who do they have besides Devontae Adams? Well, you know, he threw for however many yards and four touchdowns. I think that, you know, most quarterbacks will take that. And I think when you look at N'Keal Harry, Edelman, and whoever else that comes off the sideline, they are professional wide receivers. You expect for them to catch the ball, you expect for them to get open. And I think that they will. I don't worry about those sort of things as much as I do just being solid and sound and not making the mistakes. And that's something that New England obviously didn't do against the Miami Dolphins, a team that derailed them from having a first-round bye a year ago, toward the end of the season when the New England Patriots lost to the Miami Dolphins. So you look at that and you got to say to yourself, what weapons does he have at his disposal? Well, whatever they are, they got to maximize them and use them. And I have full trust and belief that that's what New England will do.
Speaking of weapons, you bring up N'Keal Harry, who was injured to start his rookie year, then never really found a role with Tom Brady over the second half of last year. This first game was sort of up and down. Yeah, he had five catches, but he fumbles on the goal line. He gets run over by a defensive back on a play that it looked like he should have been the one who was the hammer. How long do we wait on a first-round pick like N'Keal Harry before we say, this guy just doesn't have it?
Well, I think, it's too early to tell. I mean, he got hurt last year. Injuries happen in this league, right? And in the end, you look at Sammy Watkins, it took him a while to really kind of get started. He's been injured. He was often injured in Buffalo. He goes to the Rams. He kind of, was injured, fell out of love with them. They move him. They elect not to re-sign him. After giving up a second-round pick, he goes to Kansas City. He wins the Super Bowl, and the rest is history. So I wouldn't be ready to throw him away just yet. I think in times, you know, things happen. Yes, he fumbled out the back of the end zone, but come on, man. He was trying to score. It wasn't like he just was aloof and just decided to drop the ball outside the pylon. He was actually trying to score, and he squirted out. Now, in terms of getting trucked by a defender, I mean, he's got to realize he's a big body, and he needs to dish out the punishment instead of absorbing the punishment, and that'll come.
We're talking with ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson here on Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart. One of the things that almost universally we're hearing from players is without fans in the stands, and there were only two stadiums that had a small number of fans in the stands, but for the most part, without them, you got to bring your own energy. And I don't know that we realized fully how hard that is for players to do that.
It is hard, but it can be done. I mean, you know, you look at your opponent, and, you know, what I would do when I practiced scrimmaged against other players or my own teammates is I, from a mental standpoint, just thought about dominating them, you know, kicking their ass across from me and putting it on good tape together. So, you know, that's a motivational thing that you look at. It's like, yeah, you're gonna watch this film when you get back in that defensive meeting room, and you're going to get yelled at because I'm getting ready to do something to you. And that's how you fuel these things. Get inside your mind to understand. And I think in the next several games, they'll get accustomed to it, and it won't be a big issue as much as it was in week one, because in week one, you really didn't know what to expect, right? It's like, it's an empty stadium. It feels like practice.
Keyshawn, do you think Cam Newton in New England is going to be a one and done, or do you think there's a good chance they could get a long-term deal?
Well, it depends on how the season goes, right? I mean, if the New England Patriots are 9-2 with in the 11th game mark, and he's playing, you know, like Cam Newton, MVP Cam Newton, I think they try to get a long-term deal done. If they are barely scraping by and he's not living up to the expectations, then I think New England would only be right to move on from him, right? I mean, that's just what they would do, I would think. But I'm betting with him and not against him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why people would even be wanting to bet against him, which is like when I first came on you guys' show a couple weeks ago and I talked about how silly it was to try to, like, go against him. Like, what's the big deal? Like, him and Belichick are fine. He just won. He's balling. Like, what more do you want? A win's a win is a win, no matter how you get it.
Football fans in New England were obviously watching two games on Sunday. They were very happy with the Patriots win, and then I'm not sure how they reacted to watching Tom Brady struggle in Tampa Bay. Is there anything to be concerned about with Brady and the Buccaneers, and did the way that Bruce Arians kind of called out Brady for the interceptions, did that surprise you?
No, the calling out surprised me, but the struggle didn't surprise me considering it is a new system, a new situation. For 20 years, Brady basically heard the same voices in his ear, whether it was Charlie Weiss, whether it was Josh McDaniels, Bill O'Brien, Josh McDaniels again, Bill Belichick. Those were kind of the same voices, same principles, same everything. And when you get into a new building with a new everything, it's totally different. Then in terms of being called out by Bruce Arians, I think if you go back and you look at Bruce Arians' history of coaching quarterbacks, whether he's the quarterback coach, the offensive coordinator, or the head coach, when he's had a quarterback for the first time, whether it's Ben Roethlisberger, Tim Couch, Peyton Manning, Jameis Winston, Carson Palmer, their interception rate is high in that first year, like literally high. So I wouldn't be surprised if Tom Brady threw more interceptions this year than he has in a very, very, very long time, because history just shows me that for whatever reason, whatever Bruce and Byron Leftwich is putting together, people don't grasp immediately. Now, the curve may be different because those guys were a little younger, where Tom Brady is, you know, 20 years in, but he's still going to have some issues because everything is new. Now, whether or not Tampa Bay makes the playoffs or wins the division or whatever, that I don't know. But I'm one thing that I'm not worried about is I'm not worried about Tom Brady feeling sorry for him. That's for sure.
Say what you will about Bill Belichick's coaching style. He doesn't take players to task in public. Now, behind closed doors in a meeting room, you know, word is he could be pretty rough. Word also was that you weren't afraid to go back at a guy like Bill Parcells back in the day when you were playing for him. What gave you the courage to do that?
Well, it's not going back at him. I think, you know, it's a situation of respect. If I know that I'm doing everything that you're asking me to do, and I know that you're trying to get the most out of me and make me better, you know, I'm going to do it. And it's all about the confidence level that you have and the respect level that you have for the coach. Certain coaches respect that and they understand that. One thing that I can tell you about Parcells is that he respected the fact that I wasn't one that was just going to fold my tent just because he said something to me. And there was a lot of guys that, you know, if he said something to him, you might as well forget it. And they were done. And that wasn't me. You know, if I remember, I remember we're playing Seattle on a Monday night in Seattle. And a pass was thrown to me and I should have caught it and took it off the dude's head, but I kind of messed around and let him knock it away. And I came back to the sideline, and Bill started screaming and hollering and cussing and everything and all this and that. And you know, I just basically looked at him and was like, whatever. And so at the end of that game on the Monday night, something similar happened in the same sort of play where I took the ball off the defender's head. At the back of the end zone. So the games that we win the game, the game's over with. Bill's running through the tunnel. He said, you could play for me anytime you want to play for me. And I said, well, I don't know how much blanky, blanky, blank I want to play for you. This may be it by the time I land in Dallas. And all he could do is just smile, right? And so with certain players, you know, guys do some things. I remember another time, just for quick Bill Parcells story, we were at practice and, you know, he was just talking trash or whatever. So I finally said to him, I said, look, man, you hadn't done S since the Giants. You know, he won two Super Bowls. I said, you haven't done S since the Giants. Your good buddy Pat Riley hasn't done anything since the Lakers. And your other buddy, Bobby Knight, hadn't done anything since Indiana, and your boy Tony La Russa hadn't done anything to the St. Louis Cardinals. You need to find some new friends.
Keyshawn, in your Jets days, one of your teammates back in the 2000 season was Jermaine Wiggins, who now works here on our station. What do you remember, if anything, about Wiggins?
Bad body Wiggins.
Thank you. That's all we needed.
I like J-Dub. He was, man, you know what? I didn't think he was going to make it out of Marshall. I was just like, ain't no way in the world he going to make it. I'm just looking at his body and everything. I was like, nah. And he had that whole Boston, if I can remember, he was like a Celtic fan.
Yep.
And sure. I was like, yo, bro, seriously? Like, you a Celtic fan? And Larry Bird? Because I'm an L.A. Laker and the whole deal. And he used to, it was like, he was like a Celtic fan. I was like, ugh, you know. But he was cool. I like Wiggins. Wiggins was younger than me, and we got along very, very well. Like, in fact, I think I even took him under my wing to a degree.
So you brought up Pat Riley. You brought up the Celtics. Heat, Celtics start tonight. You're a Lakers guy. Can you handicap the rest of the NBA playoffs for us? Celtics going to take care of the Heat and then take care of your Lakers?
Well, see, there you go. Now you ask it for too much. yep. You know, I like Jaylen Brown and Tatum, and obviously Kemba Walker went healthy. I think that they give you some. Marcus Smart is there. They got a nice nucleus of young players, you know, that can get it. I think Jaylen Brown is one of the guys that play both ends of the floor that's extremely good in terms of doing those sort of things. You know, Jimmy Butler in Miami is like kind of sort of the long ranger. But when you have a long ranger like that who has willed his team to the I was about to call it the NFC Championship, but the Eastern Conference Finals, being able to will his team, that says something to me. That shows that all the guts and the heart and the mentality is a dog mentality, and I like guys like that. I really honestly do, and I would love to see them win. I don't necessarily know that I wouldn't prefer to see the Celtics and the Lakers just because of the history. They got 17, we got 16, even though the 17, most of those came in like the 1940s, but you know, we want to catch them. We want to catch them. I know they still count. We want to catch them if we can. And it just would be great for television. It'd just be great, right?
Yeah.
Lakers, Celtics, it would be good. But if the Miami Heat and the Lakers go, it would be great. I don't think people want to see the Clippers in the Heat, that's for sure.
Keyshawn, it's always fun to talk football with you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, no problem. See you guys.
Thanks, take Keyshawn. Care.
That is Keyshawn Johnson, ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL wide receiver. And the stories about, you know, there aren't a lot, but there are guys like Keyshawn who were willing to go back after Bill Parcells. And I got to tell you, based on my experiences with Parcells, he kind of liked it.
Yeah, I think you have to have a few of those guys that you have a ton of respect for. They also have to be really good players. They have to work hard. They have to do all of that stuff, too, in order for you to take it. Because everybody would say, you know, Mike Vrabel had that same kind of thing with Bill Belichick. Well, if Mike Vrabel is some kind of scrub, it wasn't going to work.
Oh, yeah. You know? If you talk back in the first meeting as an undrafted rookie, you're probably out of town the next hour.
It's not going to work. You have to kind of prove it on the field. And clearly, Keyshawn and Parcells had that relationship where when he ended up in Dallas, who did he bring with him? Keyshawn Johnson. And so that was somebody he knew he could, well, thought he could win with. And so I think guys need to have that, you know, or coaches, especially like the hard-ass coach, needs to have those guys to kind of keep them in check a little bit.
How many legendary coaches did he just blowtorch with that one story?
Nice. Hilarious. Hilarious.
Pat Riley, Tony Lewis.
Those are all your friends.
You need new friends.
my Parcells story, similar to that, is back in the day, I'm at the Garden getting ready to do a Bruins game. And there's a message on my phone, and I listen to it, you know, before we go on the air. And it says, Dale, this is Bill Parcells. Can you give me a call, please? And he gives me this number. So I wait until the first intermission because I'm not working in the intermission. I go to the back of the press box and I call in Seagirt. I call the number. He gets on the phone and he starts, who the hell is this? How did you get this bleeping number? What are you doing calling me here?
And it was like Shine with Keyshawn last week.
Same. And I said, Bill, this is Dale Arnold. You asked me to call you. Oh, okay, yeah. That's but man, he comes out charging.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what he was like with his players. He'd go from 0 to 100. In a heartbeat, but then he'd back off. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, never mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is one of those things, though. As a player, when you fire back, you are rolling the dice, I think, a little. Either it ends up he respects you to all ends, and you might play for him on 5 different teams, or you're out.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Bad Body Wiggins, huh? Is that the new nickname that's
unfortunately. Yes.
Oh, not anymore, though. No, thanks to Awaken 180.
Good point. That was
Good Body Wiggins.
That was pre-Awaken 180.
Yeah, no,
he does this before Body.
He looks better. He was in better was he in better shape then?
I don't know. He's probably in better shape now.
I joke with him. He always did.
He
and Ty Law always wore the fat jacket to start camp to, like, sweat out whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's, how does he get open? He doesn't even pick his feet up off the ground when he's running.
Doesn't need to.
Didn't matter. Caught the damn ball.
Great hands. That's it.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Still to come, Rich Keefe's favorite NFL coach, Matt Patricia.
How about this guy? Is this guy unbelievable or what?
He's taking some credit. Well,
he's taking a lot of credit.
I didn't know he ever suited up. All the credit. He's taking all the credit.
Did you see, by the way, and his predecessor, his head coach of the Lions, got fired when his record was like 9-11 or something like that, whatever it was. Literally, it was like that kind of number. Matt Patricia is now 9-23-1 or something.
That's not good.
Oh, he's terrible. And he got some of the excuses last year because Stafford missed so many games.
Right.
And so it's hard to win in the NFL with a backup quarterback or a third-string quarterback. But he actually took over a team with talent. He wasn't one of those guys. You know, normally when there's a coaching change, you're replacing a team that was 3-11 or just garbage.
Weren't they 8-8?
Top pick.
The year before?
No, they were 9-7.
9-7.
Back-to-back 9-7s, including... in 16, they made the playoffs under Jim Caldwell. 2017, they had the same record, but they didn't get the tiebreaker, so they didn't make the playoffs. So then they make a coaching change. Patricia goes 6-10 in his first year, then 3-12-1 last year, and now off to an 0-1 start in which His team allowed 21 points to Mitch Trubisky and the Bears. They've had so many fourth quarter leads, and they've let them all slip away.
And ironically, he was the worst drop in the history of NFL football away from winning the damn game.
Yes.
No, it was. I mean, it was there. They should have won. But again, that's the Lions for you. You know, you got to have a little bit more room for error because, you know, your rookie running back may drop a pass in the end zone.
Well, if you're wondering what Matt Patricia is now taking credit for, and it's taken a while to get there. Thank goodness he did, because it gives us some content.
It sure does.
We'll play it for you in just a couple of minutes. Still to come, we've got Kiefer Madness coming up at 12:30. We've got Keefe's Keys to Beat the Heat coming up at 1:30. It's Dale and Keefe, and Andy Hart still in the house with us, as he is every Tuesday and Thursday, and it's time to trend.
More of Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart on WEEI.
Do me a favor, just kind of sit up and just, like, have a little respect for the process. Every day you come in and ask me questions, and you just kind of, like, you know, give me this. But, I mean, like, just be a little respectful. I'm asking just to be a little respectful in this whole process, okay?
That was a hard-o move by Detroit Lions head coach Matt Patricia. Now, don't sing ever. I didn't know Matt Patricia much when he was here because, you know, we didn't get to talk to people very much. I think I spoke to him once at a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Andy, you knew him.
Yep.
I mean, people around here seem to like him a lot, right?
Yep. Getting harder and harder to
seems like a good coordinator.
Defend him. And it's not just the losing. Anybody can lose. Plenty of them have lost. They come back. The way he has handled himself. Dale, you used the word hardo.
It's like a clown show.
And he famously wore the clown
shirt.
He did.
He wore it, and he is the one that appears to be a clown. Because, again, Detroit, you remember going back to, and it ended up being kind of flipped, but when Josh McDaniels originally took the Colts job and Patricia took the Lions job, and we're saying, man, the Lions are actually in a pretty good spot. They got Matthew Stafford. They got a lot of talent on that team. And, yeah, it's Detroit, and it's a losing franchise, but there's talent there. And how many 9-7 teams have a coaching vacancy? Whereas you didn't really know Andrew Luck's status and everything else, and we're like, yeah, the Colts are kind of like a who knows. Now, they've turned out to be a pretty competitive team, and they draft well and everything else in the Lions. But as soon as Patricia got there was already all kinds of leaks from players about this guy thinks he's Belichick, and this guy is such a hard-o, and he's got all these things, and players kind of fought back.
He predated the Judge story about running laps and doing like the old-school penalties.
He had to get rid of guys.
They were like sort of getting rid of the old school, and then I got to bring in Patriots.
It's the classic case of, and I'm sure Mangini ran into this and some of the other coaching tree failures, is he feels like I've won all this stuff, and the players look at him like, well, you're not Belichick, so why don't you kind of prove. And then again, last year, Stafford gets hurt, so it's sort of like, all right, that kind of explains the losing, but I don't know. That telling the guy to sit up in the press conference, I thought was pathetic. Oh. And then just everything that he has done, it seems like I was honestly surprised they gave him a third year, and it just seems like it's more of the same. You have this big lead at home against a division opponent who has a terrible starting quarterback, and yet you fall apart and you lose that game.
Plus,
and
remember, it's Bob Quinn. So you're blowing up the organization. I can't imagine
That's it. So that's
Quinn
why
is
got
not
going to
get
year.
Rid. And is it still the old woman? She's still the
I believe
owner?
So.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe so.
So
she's still there.
You know, remember there was like a
Ford heiress.
Yeah. Sheila. Oh no.
And she calls them in. So she may just like she's like your grandma. She might want to not fire you. She might like them personally, and maybe the bottom line isn't quite the pressure to. It is Detroit after all. That's the other thing. Talked about all the reasons.
Yeah.
All he had to do was basically win a playoff game there, and you might get a parade. Right? Like, you might become the heir to the Ford throne. Like,
the expectations
are low.
Super high.
So low.
So we already said, and we gave him this out, that, you know, one of the worst drops in the history of the National Football League cost him the game Sunday.
Yes.
I mean, he's got a wide receiver who's all by himself at the goal line and just drops the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But that's beside the point, because post-game, Patricia gets asked if there's something in his coaching style that results in fourth quarter losses.
Throughout really your tenure here, you've had fourth quarter leads and lost them. Is there something in your coaching that maybe isn't happening enough in the fourth quarter for you to close out games?
Yeah, I don't think so, Mike. I think I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL where I think I did a pretty good job. So I don't think it's that. I think we all know what the individual games are. We got to do a better job. I mean, we've got a team right now that's different than the previous 2 years. this team is different. They're different players, and they have a different mindset. You know, we look, no excuses. Give the Bears credit. You know, they did what they did, and they executed, and they scored, and they won, and we didn't. But, you know, I'm not looking back. We're looking forward, and we're trying to make sure that this team that we're building on, you know, understands these situations, and we got to come through better than what we did before.
But in case you're wondering, he's taking credit for the Malcolm Butler interception against Seattle in the Super Bowl.
Wait, so you're not looking back? In the same cut in which he refers to a game that was played over 5 years ago, he's saying, we're not looking back. Well, you're looking back. So you're claiming, so the whole time you've been a head coach here, you don't have any examples there where you've done anything good in the fourth quarter. You go back to the time where you were a coordinator for Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl, and based on all the documentaries I've seen since then, feels like it was more of an Ernie Adams, Bill Belichick thing than it was a Matt Patricia thing.
That was the whole practice during the week.
We saw the video of it.
Yeah, I don't think so, Mike. I think I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL. You know, I'm not looking back. We're looking forward.
No. I think Malcolm has the biggest play. You didn't make the play, and I'm wondering if you even called the play.
And Brian Flores, remember, he's the one who sends him in because Josh Boyer's up in the booth. He sends him in. I don't actually know what Matt Patricia did. I can tell you, I was also there, Matt. Yes. So can I take credit for that? Can I say
You were there. We all did.
I went to 9 Super Bowls.
Wow.
Do I get credit for those?
Yes.
I think
that is so bad. That's the new low. That's the newest low for a head coach.
A little sausage here. You know how Bears Najarian, you know how Bears Najarian is Bill's guy?
Yes.
And oversees media, not the media relations director, but the go-between.
Matt needs a guy.
No, he has a guy. His name's Kevin Anderson. He came from here with Matt.
He needs a better guy.
I would have dove across the rooms on top of the laptop.
No more questions!
No!
No more questions! The internet's out.
Yeah, pull the plug.
That is
broadband issue.
Embarrassing. I don't even think he made that call, and yet he's taking credit for it. But it was 5 years ago.
Effing was, and you should have had that in there.
By the way, I know it's Detroit media, so you weren't going to get it. They should have had a follow-up. Be like, hey, and then Matt, when you were there a couple years after that, that same player didn't play in the Super Bowl. How come
you involved in that decision?
Why
too,
did
Matt?
You choose to not play Malcolm Butler? Because he was there. That was your last game. And by the way, the defense improved greatly after you left, but that's neither here nor there.
No question. This comment here.
That's pathetic.
Once he's fired, and I think you guys actually, one of you had him as your first coach fired.
Yeah, but Rich has him every year.
Yes.
Well, he's right.
So I am Max Kellerman this one, and I'm going to just pick him every year until he's finally gone. And
this clip will live on forever.
He'll be
for him.
The defensive coordinator of the Patriots in 2022.
Ooh,
I swear, I think I said it three years ago.
Where's Steve going?
Head coach.
Okay, touche.
I mean, he feels like a guy that could be back, but you're right, it is getting kind of crowded with those guys. But maybe Mayo takes another job somewhere else or whatever else it is. But that one is so bad. So not only do you lose and blow another huge fourth quarter, but you say, no, I'm not worried about my fourth quarter coaching, because when I was a coordinator 5 years ago under the greatest head coach of all time, One play. Like, no. You've had meltdowns. The whole 15 minutes of the fourth quarter have been a mess for you guys in Detroit. And one play with Malcolm Butler does not mean that you are this fourth quarter genius.
If Tennessee gives up a touchdown, Malcolm Butler at the goal line, and somebody asks him about, were you disappointed in your inability to compete at the goal line there? And Malcolm Butler brought up the play in the Super Bowl. I wouldn't even like it. And he actually made the play. If he said, you know, I made goal line plays in the past. You might have seen it was in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If he did that, I think I'd be critical of it. Never mind the coach who was way over there.
And
close to
what?
The play as I was.
There's too many DVDs out there. It wasn't even your call. We've all seen the behind the scenes on that.
This will live with it. Like,
yeah.
Remember who couldn't spell Potato Dale?
Dan Quayle.
Dan Quayle. Yeah. This is going to follow Matt Patricia for the rest of his
life. We actually have a crazy stat, which leads us right now to go into the crazy stat desk with Krishan.
So, Keith mentioned that major fourth quarter lead. The Lions become only the fourth team since 2006 to blow a 17-point lead entering the fourth quarter. Teams prior to that, 779-3. 99.6% of the time, they win the football game.
And I think you could even skew it to be more outrageous, because the quarterback on the other side wasn't Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't Patrick Mahomes. It was Mitch Trubisky.
Yes, MVP Mitch.
And at home.
Everybody calls him.
Like, that's just, I mean, the whole thing is.
I got to tell you, if I were going to get emotional, because there was a hint of emotion in this answer, defensiveness.
I do think.
Don't you just say, if our effing running back could catch the ball at the goal line, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
I know. Well, that'd be a Bruce Arians thing.
That's what I would say.
He would have said
no
that.
No doubt in my mind.
But I do think, and I know you're a big guy that reads tone a lot. You always question my tone in interviews.
Yours is terrible sometimes.
The interviewer there, or the questioner, he did kind of have a, Like, he was like, hey, like, fourth quarter, the talk about the fourth quarter coaching there, Skip. And well, so, but I think he's entitled to that and because it's been bad there.
A, the truth is never mean, correct? And B,
I've heard that.
B,
T-shirts are coming.
Yes, they are. And B, doesn't Matt Patricia make a lot of money to be?
He does.
Like, you that's what you signed up for, to be questioned when you fail. And I don't know if you've noticed, Matt, you failed a lot as the head coach of the Lions. You're kind of running out of rope. You know, we talked about, remember he and the Lions were, if not the first team, one of the first during the boycotts, and they didn't practice.
Yeah, they missed a practice.
I now firmly believe part of that was, I'll do whatever the team tells me. I need these players with me. Yeah. I'm losing this team. I'm losing this locker room. I'll do what they ask of me. I'll go stand out there and stand arm in arm with them. Because, I mean, I hate to say Rich is right sometimes, but
well, he is.
No, don't.
Certainly feels like he's going to be the first coach fired.
How about this? The Jim Caldwell, who, again, nobody would say is this great coach, but Jim Caldwell was in Detroit for four seasons. Three of them winning seasons. Went to the playoffs twice and had a 36-28 record.
How many interceptions did he have on the goal line in the Super Bowl to win it? How many? Huh?
I guess that's why. Huh? I guess that could be the reason why. Meanwhile, Matt Patricia is 9-22-1 and nowhere near the playoffs.
I'm not looking back. We're looking forward.
Well, you just started that answer by talking about the Malcolm Butler play.
And for those of you keeping score at home, a 297 winning percentage.
Yeah, that's not going to get it done.
That's even in Detroit, that's not going to get it done.
And no, and again, you look at them, and they had to be thinking playoffs. You know, Matthew Stafford is a top half of the league quarterback, and that alone should get you in the conversation of playoffs, let alone some of the other players that you have on the team that are solid. And you took over a team that was winning. They just needed somebody to push them over the top and somebody that you thought was going to improve the defense. Again, Matt Patricia, right, you'd think would be a little bit better defensively. Caldwell's last season, their team allowed fewer points than each of the three seasons that Patricia's been there. He made the defense worse.
Hard
to
make an argument.
The Lions defense statistically blitzes less than any other team by like a mile every season.
Yeah, they weren't aggressive. He did that here. And then Brian Flores took over, and all of a sudden, oh, they're aggressive.
Oh, look at the difference.
And they're stuffing the Rams to 3 points in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, that is... Again, the Belichick coaching
tree. But he's got one of the big plays, one of the big calls in NFL history.
I think I got one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL where I think I did a pretty good job.
How is that on the top of your mind?
That was so long ago.
That's what I'm saying.
In a football coach's kind of memory, it should be so long ago.
Shouldn't be there.
You
should not be in your mind at all.
He had multiple seasons with the Patriots after that play, and then has been in Detroit now going on. He's in his third year in Detroit, and he's still referencing that. That's outrageous, and that'll be the one, like Andy was saying, when he does get fired, that's the one. It supersedes the, hey, sit up and have some respect. Like, this is the one that people are going to point to.
And I think this will get some piling on to whenever you talk about the worst coaches in NFL history. Like, comments like this will hurt him in sort of, because it's Rich Kotite.
Rich
Kotite is
a classic one.
There's a few that people like to throw out there, but this is going to put him in that category because people are going to remember these sound bites where he was so arrogant and condescending. And
it's, I usually say that coaches get a second chance. Coaches who struggle in their first place, and again, for the most part, it's good. Like Bill Belichick, if you want to change sports, Doc Rivers, Terry Francona, their first time for whatever reason didn't go great, and they get a second chance. The way this is going, you really wonder, why would a team even want to give him a second chance? Like, what's the bright spot? What's that? Well, at least he did this. I don't see any of it.
Brought some attention to Detroit.
Okay.
We're talking about him. Would we normally be talking about him?
A little bit of buzz. He was trending on Twitter after these comments.
He shaped up that media that covers the Lions.
That's
They're
true.
All sitting at attention.
Great
now.
Posture.
Made
on
pencils
the...
cool again.
He did. Yep.
As our buddy Dice said on Twitter, Matt Patricia had that line ready to go.
Yeah,
he's
how?
Been holding on to that one. No hesitation.
For 6 years.
He's been waiting for somebody.
He's like, I'm going to blow another fourth quarter lead. I'll have to be asked about it now, and then I'll have this in the holster.
This one's gonna kill it.
I'm not looking back. We're looking forward.
Whoops. You just looked back.
Yeah,
well,
you're contradicting yourself.
And you apparently look back a lot because you talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
As we've just talked about that former member of the Patriots, we'll turn our attention to another former member of the Patriots. And bad coaching again in the NFL. Speaking of Matt Patricia, really bad coaching in Denver. We'll get into all of that as well. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dale and Keefe.
Let's get back
with Andy Hart
on Sports Radio, WEEI.
On WEEI.
Here's Gostkowski on the way from 47 and no good. That was blocked. 42-yard attempt. He's missed one, had one block, and no good. A chippy from 25. On the way. And splits the uprights like he's been doing it all night.
Mike, did you have any worries after the night that Gostkowski had about sending him out there for that final kick?
Nope. And they did, obviously, because they weren't using their timeouts.
Well, that actually had some football fans in Denver quizzing their head coach as they watched the end of the loss last night to the Tennessee Titans. Vic Fangio, I guess, decided he was saving his timeouts for overtime.
Well, I don't hate that because it's not a guarantee that you ice the kicker from 25 yards right out and make him think about it. Because then sometimes maybe
had problems with extra points. So
yeah, but extra points is now closer. Are long. Now this is
closer.
This
than
is
extra
his
point.
Old school extra point, a chip shot.
This one was a layup, a gimme of all the kicks, even with the misses from before. And I don't know. I don't think coaches have to do that every time because so many of them do. That doesn't have the same effect. Where if you're out there getting ready to kick, aren't you in the back of your mind like, are they going to call timeout? Is this going to be it? Is this going to be legit? Like, right. If the ball goes down, are they going to blow it dead or what's going on? So I wouldn't freak out in Denver over that.
No,
some are, but.
I mean, we just talked about it. The Super Bowl interception and Belichick doesn't call timeout there.
Right. And it worked out.
Everybody's like, what? Wait.
I remember seeing one year Rex Ryan called timeout. I forget if it was with the Jets or the Bills. He called timeout. But the snap went off. The guy missed the field goal. And they're like, no, timeout. And then he made it after.
Right.
And you're like, so if he didn't, you would have won the game because his first attempt at it,
right,
he missed it. And sometimes those guys still follow through and they get like an extra attempt. But this was such a close field goal too. Like if it was like a 50-yarder, maybe you want to mess with them a little bit or you think it helps. But
I will say
my
guy Vic Fangio finds ways to lose games.
See,
over the last year and a half in Denver, he has found ways to lose games.
They lose close games all the time.
And I don't know if it's specific actual actions of the coach or if there's maybe somebody should ask him, coach, what happens with your coaching in the fourth quarter? Yeah. You find ways to lose games. By the way, were you ever involved in the most impressive Super Bowl ending play in history? No.
I'm not looking back. We're looking forward.
No, only one guy was.
Mike Vrabel, that soundbite right
I
there.
I love it.
I love him.
He's
emotional.
Yeah.
He has an edge to him. He reacts.
Snippy.
And yet it's always from a position of swagger, not
and it's
loser.
Always, it's always
like
getting
Patricia.
His, yeah.
Patricia. Sound like Wiggy.
Matt Patricia.
It's always like a loser defensive thing. Vrabel is swagger. It's putting him on the table and showing
big
you.
Big time. And it's always like directed at the other team and not his team either.
Like
it's
always sort of. Why'd you throw to Mariota? We wanted to see if our quarterback could catch better than theirs.
Hilarious.
Or like everything is a little dig or a little confident swagger.
Yeah, he's the
He's the ultimate. And I really enjoy his coaching. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, it's great.
I would love to see him here. I could not envision it.
It won't happen.
It won't.
As long as the Crafts are on the team.
How fun would he be?
It won't it'd be the best.
What? Because he said Patriot plays, we don't make money from that?
Oh, you don't think they're sensitive to that?
Oh, they are.
Okay.
Completely.
So,
I just wish they
were.
My
answer, yes.
Well, he's a pretty good coach. Can we also
He's a great
that?
Coach, and Tennessee should never let him leave. Tennessee should keep him there forever.
Coach for life. New 10-year extension right now?
Well, I mean, if you're going to give any coach a really long contract right now in the NFL, I think he'd be the guy. Because the other great coaches are all old. All the other best coaches, at least I could be missing somebody, but Belichick, Andy Reid, Pete Carroll, you're not going to give them a 10-year deal.
Cliff Kingsbury.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's see, Shime. Let's see.
Oh, my
but
God.
But he's blindingly handsome.
Well,
right,
you got that.
As long as Kyler Murray's there, I'm keeping Cliff Kingsbury.
All right. Imagine if he's a dominant NFL head coach and you're like, wait,
Kingsbury?
You sucked in college.
Yeah.
Why? How come you can coach here? What's going on here?
Well, maybe the inverse is true because the guys who are great in college suck in the pros. So
maybe
if you're bad in college and then you somehow get a pro
the
job.
The college game is generally 5 years ahead of the NFL
when
game.
When did my
so
grandfather get here? The college game
mean?
Is generally.
The schemes in college are generally about 5 years ahead.
He
of
is a pro. He is the perfect coach for
Andy Reid loves
Murray.
To study high school football because things trickle up scheme-wise in football.
So he's going to stop punting and just go for everything like that guy in wherever he is,
yeah,
Alabama.
That's smart.
All right,
high school guy. Yeah,
stats would tell you you should go for it on fourth down.
Only on fourth and short.
And by the way, Andy Reid's
Andrew
great
Lamar
right
Jackson.
Now in part because he has the best player.
Yeah,
he'd be the NBA champion.
But he was
the
still
best player.
He was still a really good coach prior to having Patrick
great.
Mahomes.
Oh yeah, no. I've always argued he was a Hall of Fame coach. He just needed the ring to get him
and
over
there
the.
There he
yeah.
is,
and he got right. Patrick Mahomes, and there it was.
Yep.
Did they not at some point last night talk about Stephen Gostkowski being a Hall of Fame kicker?
Oh, my God.
At some point.
Hall of what fame?
Yeah, they're out of their minds.
And it goes back to, you know, Andy, you pointed out earlier, he does have this career great, you know, successful percentage and all that stuff. But, I mean, I like Stephen Gostkowski.
Yeah, but that's crazy.
I don't know anybody who, except I heard, I thought one of the announcers last night said.
They might have. I didn't hear that, but they might have. He's got big-time regular season numbers, but just as a Patriots fan, it's like.
No, he's a modern stat accumulator. No offense to him, but he was on great offense.
Good teams.
You know what happens?
Have a lot of points. A
lot of field goals, a lot of PATs.
And
you're
also,
now the all-time scoring leader. Great.
It's something that around the league, as much as we say, oh, look, this team has a bad kicker, this team has a bad kicker, we forget what kicking was like earlier in the NFL. Like,
or,
off the top
or like it was here Sunday, which is why Nick Folk went back on the practice squad yesterday.
But think about it. Like, if you told somebody, like, hey, Gary Anderson, Morton Anderson, you're like, oh, yeah, all-time great kickers. It's like their field goal percentage is so much lower than any regular guy that's out there now. All the guys now have, like, a 90%
Oh, the
field
bar
goal
is raised. Like, Dale, you just bring up Nick Folk's
kick. The bar
kick.
Has been raised.
Yes. You that's bring up Nick Folk's kick. In the old days, a 45-yarder was like, he should make it, but it's not a gimme. Mm-hmm. In today's football, 45 yards, gimme. Right?
Yeah, you gotta
now you have to nail all those, and you have to be decent at 51, 52. You need to be able to get over the 50-yard marker. It's, the whole kicking game has changed, and then when you mix in the PATs, everybody misses PATs now. Like, last night, I was watching the air, right? Pittsburgh missed their first PAT. It's like everybody does.
These are, so, like, because everyone's like, oh, Stephen Gostkowski, like, is eighth all-time in field goal percentage. They're like, oh, that's really good. The guys above him, Justin Tucker, playing right now, Harrison Butker, playing right now, Josh Lambeau, playing right now, Will Lutz, Dan Bailey, Chris Boswell, and Robbie Gould. So it's not even that impressive.
Like, so was, none of them are considered Hall of Fame kickers.
No.
Maybe Tucker. I don't know.
Just,
like, people love him.
He was just a solid NFL kicker for many years where there was no, like, he was your guy. You didn't have to worry about it.
And to get in as a kicker in the Pro Football Hall of Fame,
you have to be one of the two best.
You have to be Adam Vinatieri. Like, you have to have, no, but not even the best.
You,
like,
need moments.
Something like that. People just remember and say flat out, you know, ice in his veins. He's
including
the guy.
The greatest kick I've ever seen in my life.
Right. I would even say, like, a guy like Vince Wilfork, great player. Probably will never be in the Hall of Fame because he wasn't Defensive Player of the Year. He didn't have that one hook that puts him in there. And I think it's even harder as a kicker. Vinatieri's going to go in. And then
that's
somebody
no
else.
No one
maybe,
else ever.
Maybe Tucker
I
or somebody.
I think Justin Tucker has a chance just because he does have playoff kicks. Plus, he's just, if he leads the league in every single category, like, maybe he gets in.
For a long time. But
yeah.
I just,
I know,
even
I
here. I mean, how often have we talked over the years about Gostkowski and there are lovers and there are haters? There are people that think very little of him, that there's no faith in him, that, you know, you, when the game is on the line, you're worried when he goes out there.
I didn't have any faith in him.
Is that a Hall of Famer?
No,
is that what you want?
God, no.
That's like a closer in baseball. You're like, I think he'll get the job
crossed.
Done, but hopefully.
Yeah, I know.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Kiefer Madness coming up at 12:30. Keefe's keys to the Celts beating the Heat coming up at 1:30. We'll talk about the Patriots when we come back on the other side. It's Dale and Keefe with Heart Sports Radio, WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.